I had a dream last night that
you wait. Did you ask me
if I had something to start with, and I said no, and then you started to start. So I
no.
Started.
Do you have a flap? Did you have the flappy arm dream? The one where you're flying?
No. What are you talking about?
Are you kidding? This is one of the biggest schisms of this podcast between the two hosts of this podcast.
Just kidding. No, I did not have that dream. Although I've had a lot of freaky dreams lately. We currently have like a hole open behind our washing machine, just like
in the wall.
Yeah, it's probably like a.
Oh, is this where you had some water damage or something?
Yeah,
you're like replacing the wall.
12 by 24 inch square is cut out. There's no insulation, and you could just see straight into our crawl space.
Oh,
and like I had this thing in college before every final, like before every finals week, I would have like nightmares / like it's like right when you're on the edge of falling asleep that like mice were crawling on me, or that they were running across our room.
Not good.
Yeah, it was just like for some reason if I get anxious or overwhelmed about something, it like it manifests itself in some type of creature. Like just funny. So like I had that happen last week.
I think that's interesting because you love camping so much. And I feel like that would if that's your
mice don't freak me out, which is funny.
If like, that's where your mind goes in anxiety, it feels like camping would be a nightmare for you.
No, it's like if a mouse ran across the room right now, I wouldn't be like, what the heck, there's a mouse. I would just be like, oh, cool. They're kind of cute, you know?
Be like, oh, I got some finals, apparently.
Yeah, but for some reason, that's what happens. And the other night, though, it was that snakes were coming up through that hole.
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm out.
And it was like, I was clearly anxious about something. Like, I couldn't sleep. My heart was racing. And when I did, it was like, oh, there's snakes coming up through the hole in the side of our house.
You just went full Indiana Jones.
Yeah, which I'm not afraid of snakes either. Just funny.
I am not great with snakes. I mean, that's the hardest.
Like if I see one in the wild, I'm not going to like try to pick it up, but like
in the wild,
it's like they're just one of those animals that you don't see very much. And supposedly they're common. So when I do see one, I'm like, that is so cool. I never seen one of those things. Anyways, if you're watching a mongoose, like take down a black mamba.
No.
It's worth a YouTube trip. It's like, what? How does this thing that is the size of a raccoon kill the fastest?
Is that how big a mongoose is? Mongoose are the size of a raccoon?
That's what they look like to me.
Wow. I don't think they're that big.
Okay, maybe a possum.
When we have one of those motion sensing front porch lights, and I had a morning where I was like, up super early, making coffee, getting ready to start the day. And the porch light came on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, that's not good. And so I was just kind of like, is somebody out on our front porch? And so I looked out the little window and a raccoon jumped from the railing on my front porch onto that hickory tree
that's funny.
In our front yard, and then just like scrambled up.
Yeah.
And that was terrifying to me because it was like, brother, you better come down out of there or else I can't walk under that tree.
Like he lives there.
Yeah. It's like, this is your,
they live in trees, which is crazy to me.
This was the most obese raccoon that I've ever seen in my life. He sustained himself on like fast food refuse.
Yeah.
It was just like Big Macs and McGriddles for this raccoon.
Fast food refuse. That's hilarious. The word refuse isn't used enough. So in college, we lived in West Knoxville. And when you hear that, it's like, dang.
Yeah.
Attaboy. And then you see our house and it looks
not good.
We lived in an extremely nice neighborhood and our house was like
the worst house,
the refuse of the other houses. The scrap nice that job. The workers threw out, they like put our house together with it. But we
it
had
a house built on the sand.
Yeah, it really was. It's amazing. Now she sold it for like $400,000 because she flipped it. But we had a cookout, which is like a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was, a, you know, it was like a 10-minute drive from our house, but they always did a a weekly like $1 milkshake, and you could buy two corn dogs for 89 cents. Bye. So it was very common that Cam Gregg would lead the charge to cook out. Like,
lead the charge.
As nice as, you know, as like healthy as that man was, yeah, it was like, yeah. I can't pass off a, you know, I can't pass up a $2 meal.
Right.
So that was like very common. And we found out
those are all other things in Cam's nature that were wrestling against his healthiness.
Yeah. We found out though that there was like, it's so weird because it's actually just a drive through cookout, but down below it, there's a parking lot where you can park and then walk up and sit.
Okay.
And if you went there at the right time of night, a raccoon would walk out of the woods and walk up to your car door to eat food. Like, cause he'd been fed so much.
Oh my word.
It's just like a thing. It was like, let's go see if the raccoon's there. And then across the street, there used to be a Mr. Gaddy's that had a herd of cats that lived in the dumpster behind it. Yeah. So we would go to cookout, feed the raccoon. And then it was like, let's go see if the cats are out. And we'd like cross the street.
This is not
good. And there would be like 45 cats just chilling.
West Knoxville's reputation just dropped like significantly just in the telling of that story.
Yeah. It's the Kingston Pike part where it's like, there's like fast food restaurant every door for
that's
10 miles.
Isn't that the spot where they used to have an Arby's that was like, it was like the only Arby's in the country that still had the old branding?
Yeah.
Like the old,
the big old cowboy hat,
the big old cowboy hat, yeah. The old seats, the old like wallpaper and like tabletops. Like it was like that Arby's came out of the show Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And it somehow survived.
Yeah.
Like across the street from like a bar workout place in West Knoxville.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like bar, like juice bar.
First Watch.
First Watch. I was struggling to find bougie things.
Welcome to Ancient and New. Where we are going to talk about some scriptures and, you're wearing Argyle socks.
They're my brother-in-law's. Mm. I steal his socks. Did you know that?
The weirdest relationship. I'm guessing Grant. I can't see Brad Kidwell owning Argyle socks.
Yeah, Grant, if ever I go to my sister and brother-in-law's house, I'll like take a pair of his dress socks.
It's very Reagan Wolf of you.
I've been doing it since college because it's like, why is a 19-year-old going to buy dress socks? You know? Why? You got to have them, though.
You want to kick us off?
Yeah. Okay. Thought this was going to be one of those episodes where we don't do any content.
When have we ever had that episode?
Never have, but maybe today was the day. I don't know. I don't think anyone would listen. It would quickly jump ship.
Yeah.
I have one verse.
Where are you?
1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Okay. Oh, man. You're gonna like read it before I can even turn to it.
No, I won't do that. So I've actually been...
Which I was a Bible drill kid, so I should be able to get there faster.
Present arms. Okay, so I had been reading through 1 Corinthians with Tom over the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then I've been doing that F.B. Mayer Daily Meditations book this year.
Yeah.
Along with what I'm reading for the scripture. And it's just bangers, man. It's been really cool to read it. I haven't probably read it in two or three. You got it for me two Christmases in a row.
It's okay. You didn't have to say that. You didn't, look at the delight in your face. You don't have to be like that.
But it's been a while and I haven't read.
Oh, look, you got this for me again.
I didn't say that. I remember opening it and being like, oh, this is awesome. And you were like, I've already got you that. And I was like, yeah. And you're like, dang it.
My wife has started to tell me, like, when I'm like, oh, have I told you? And she's like, yeah, babe. And I'm like, really? And then she'll hit the punchline or she'll hit the end of the story. And I'm like, wow, I have already told you.
We'll be driving places and Maddie will just like look at me out of the corner of my eye. And then I'll start my thing that I talk about every time we drive by that. And she's like, she'll finish it for me. And I'm like, yes, every time we drive by here.
Gosh.
So funny. Anyways. Been reading through 1 Corinthians with Tom. And then in daily meditations this morning, this verse popped up and we'll just read it and we'll talk about it. So this is from 1 Corinthians 10. This is verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I think like for the glory of God is one of those phrases that like kind of, for some reason, it gives me pause in this day and age. I don't know. It feels like the thing that everyone says, you know, for the glory, you know, all for the glory of God. Like, it was all for the glory of God.
Yeah, it makes me think of like a Kirk Franklin song or something like that.
Yeah, which I love Kirk Franklin.
I do. I do love Kirk Franklin. But it's like, I'm trying to think of like, what's the thing that occurs in my mind? It's like,
and to it's sports.
Right. But like, I think about the way he says it's specifically the way he pronounces the word glory.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Charlie the first Brown. But yeah, there is a lot of that in sports. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, I caught that drag route for a first down on a deep, you know, it's like a third and long for the glory of God. It's like, no, you just caught a pass.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
But then I read this and it's like, do it all for the glory of God.
Right.
And I'm like,
maybe you did.
Shoot. Like, I've been, you know, it's not even like annoyed. It's not, I don't know. Just like, I've probably been too judgmental of that phrase. And it was funny. I read this morning and I just decided I was going to try to mentally do this today. Like, I put my contacts in and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this for the glory of God. And it was like, it's laughable, but I'm
sorry.
This is going to be one of those episodes no one gets anything out of.
Like, what would the opposite be?
No idea.
How do you put your contacts in such a way that does not lend toward the glory of God?
No idea.
Well,
no
idea. You got to break down what that phrase means. You know, like, what does that mean?
Well, that's where I'm yielding to you as my pastor, because it's one of those things I've just heard so much and I've never given the thought, like to glorify, I guess would be almost like in my head, it's like putting the spotlight on, but I don't know if I'm right about that or not.
Yeah. People talk about it like it's, you know, to make him faint, like make Jesus famous.
Yeah. So that's
like,
probably where I've heard that.
Yeah. I mean, it means that we're saying like, this is who he is. Like when Jesus says, you know, like glorify your son and glorify yourself and glorify your name. And the Father says, I've glorified it. I will glorify it again. It's like, in other words, I'm going to show you who I am. This is who I really am. This is the essence of who I am. When you talk about God, what does somebody think? If you talk about Jesus, do they have the real thing in mind? And it's like, to glorify him would be like, you give them the real Jesus. You give them the real, like really who the Lord is, rather than like some version of him which there's a lot of, there's a ton of misunderstanding of who he is, you know? So like the fact that Jesus would go to a cross and that would glorify God. It's like, what that means is, what he's saying is, whatever you thought God on earth would be like, this is who he is. This is what his heart is like. This is what the mission is. The mission is this sacrificial death. It's this laying down of the life. This is who I am. Mm. I mean, you know, so in my mind, it's like, I don't know how you put your contacts into the glory of God.
Who knows? I did it today though.
Yeah, you did.
I did it as hard as I could.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when you look at the context of this verse, it's like they're talking about kind of like, there's certain things that people think Christians shouldn't be able to do. Or, you know, some people think you should be able to live this way. Some people think you shouldn't be able to live this way. And Paul's like, look, if you're with these people or if you're with the other people, do the whole thing in such a way that your life shows this is who God really is.
Right.
You know, and so I think that's a really cool question to walk into your day is like, what is, people that know that I am a person that knows the Lord, what is my life saying about him?
Yeah, it's cool because if you keep reading, it ends up saying, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Yeah. And if you think about this verse and that, like, I'm doing this to show, you know, not to put a spotlight on God, but to show who he really is, kind of what you're saying. It's like, Okay, if I'm going to live that way, then I'm not going to be seeking my own good, but the good of many so that they may be saved. You know, if I'm going to live that way, I'm going to live a life that shows like there's something different about me. And do you want to know what it is? I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah. And that's revealing what his heart really is like, mm-hmm. because, you know, you think about like, think about like Philippians 2 and just that he's saying like, let your heart beat like his beat. And it's like, he did not take advantage of his position, but he laid his life down. He submitted himself to death. And it's like, that's the way you're supposed to think. That's the way you're supposed to walk around, you know, because he's this kind of dude, you know, because he's this kind of God. And it's like, what if you had a life like that, where you're just denying yourself and you're laying it down for other people, like you said, so that other people can be saved. It's like, you are showing people what the real God is like at that point.
Yeah. And it was cool to read this today and think about, like, there's nothing I gain anywhere else in my life. There's nothing that brings me any joy that is sustaining, any fun, any happiness, any whatever that is sustaining, except when I do that. Like if I go for a run, I have a good time while I'm running. Feels great. When I like am doing this whole coaching search thing, like I'm in part of it.
Yeah, welcome, you know, like, welcome friends, fun, to another UT, like, coaching search.
You know, it's fun, but I always reach a point every day where I'm like, I have to put my phone down. This is driving me nuts or whatever, which I'm not spending hours upon hours reading things, but that was a poorly painting myself.
Some people may be.
But yeah, some people may be. But when I do this, like when I live a life that points to who Jesus really is by laying my life down and sacrificing it and doing that for the good of others, like it says when you continue to read, that is way more fulfilling and way more joyful. When I'm going after my day at work and it's, you know, like one thing I was reading about this week was about, like, you know, I don't want to go through my day in a way that's going to paint myself a certain way. If I'm going after today just to try to make more money than I did the day before, whatever the thing is, it's not going to be fulfilling. But when I'm doing it in a way that is putting others' needs before mine and in a way to care about others, in a way that is glorifying to God, like, wait, that is fulfilling. Like when I get to a point at the end of the day after I've done that and I'm putting my head on my pillow, I'm just like, oh, that was a good day.
Well, I really like where you're taking this, because it's almost like, how do you know if you're doing things for the glory of God? Well, the confirmation is in the pleasure of it and the joy of it. And like, because when you do things that show the world and the people in your life and even yourself who the real God really is, when you live like he is and lives and thinks and feels, then because he made the universe, then it feels better, like you're saying.
Yeah.
It gives you more. It fills you up more. And so that's cool. That's like a confirmation of like, am I doing it? I think I'm doing it. You know, I've got this fullness. That's really cool.
Yeah. When I score a touchdown today, I'm going to spike the football. I'm going to throw the ball into the stands.
And then point up to the heavens.
Yeah.
That's what Jack always loves it when football players will point up to the stands, because he's like, so do you think that means he knows the Lord? And I'm like, we got no idea, brother. There's no telling.
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Who really knows?
I want to read something.
You're changing it. No, you were reading the scripture I was on. I thought you just called an audible, sticking with football.
No, I'm not going to stick with football. But
he didn't get that.
I want to read something that is not the scriptures that I'm in right now in my personal time with the Lord, but it's going to get me there. Yeah. So I want to talk about something odd. I want to talk about time. And
I just pictured Bill Nighy. And then I like
Bill Nighy?
Bill Nighy.
Isn't that his name? Bill Nighy, yeah.
Yeah, and I just heard like a Ben Folds song pop into my head.
I'm so,
like,
oh, so kind.
What a good movie.
What a great movie. This is from Acts chapter 7, and I'm going to Acts chapter 7 because it just gives us a nice little summary of something I want to talk about.
Okay.
Verse 20 says, at that time Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you're brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. Okay, so I just finished reading the book of Genesis, and I'm reading Exodus now, and the reason I wanted to look at that place in Acts is because this little speech that Stephen is giving to the religious leaders in Jerusalem is, he takes this one point and sums it up so beautifully. He's like, okay, Moses was born. When he was 40, he left Egypt and, you know, and went out into the desert. When 40 more years had passed, the burning bush thing happened.
Yeah.
So like, we barely get any words out of Moses's mouth before the burning bush thing. That's when we have all of the things. That's when really all of the Moses stories really kick off at that point. All of the things that he does with Pharaoh, all the Ten Commandments, all the wandering through the desert, all of that stuff. This dude was 80 before anything really kicks off that we know about. It's like, you could sum up the life of Moses in a few minutes, just like Stephen just did. Mm. But in that little speech, which got him killed, by the way.
Yeah, man.
But he...
So sad.
But like, nothing really kicked off until he was 80. I mean, when I was reading the book of Genesis, one of the things that happens after Joseph is down in Egypt and the whole thing happens with the famine, and then all of his brothers realize that Joseph is still alive, and so they bring Jacob/Israel back, you know, and all their people down to Egypt to survive the famine. Before Jacob leaves Canaan for Egypt, the Lord appears to him and says, or just tells him, "You're going to get to see your son Joseph, and he's going to bury you. Like, you're going to die, but like, you're going to get to see Joseph before you die." And if God told me that, I'd be like, "Oh, cool. Like, I'm going to make it to Egypt, and then I'll get to see Joseph, and then that's when I'm going to die." When he got to Egypt, he lived 17 more years. Like, he got to Egypt, he was 130. When Jacob died, he was 147, which, first of all, miss me with that. Like, I do not want to be that old. Just
a long time to be on earth.
Just miss me with that crap.
No wonder they wandered for so long. He was just like inching through the desert.
Inching through the desert. But like,
sorry, that was total heresy. 100. It really was. All the times I try not to be heretical, and I just was. I just assumed that they were in the desert for so long because Moses had to walk slow. That's bad.
Not their unbelief, not their complaining, not their, yeah.
Lord, please forgive me.
But yeah, I mean, so he gets this promise from the Lord, and then he goes down there 17 more years. Like, when the Apostle Paul, like, when he met the Lord, he takes off like a firebrand, and then, like, they have to sideline him. He gets sidelined for a decade. 10 years where nothing is happening. Like, we have a couple of little moments of, we have Jesus's birth, we have the little scene when he's 12 years old, and then nothing till he's 30. Yeah. And I think, like, just thinking about Moses spending 40 years being a shepherd in the middle of nowhere with, you don't hear anything from him. And that thing kicked off when he was my age. Mm. Like, the Lord doesn't really use him till he's 80. And I'm just like, what was that like? What did you go through? What were you thinking? What, like, why is the Lord's clock so slow? And I say that because I've been thinking about it in a couple different ways. One, it's encouraging to me because I live certain days where, like, I get to the end of the day and I'm like, and Christy was like, she'll be like, how was your day? And I'm like, terrible. Like, or, you know, like, I don't think I did anything today. You know, and I'll look at a day as a unit in time where something amazing was supposed to happen, or I was supposed to be super useful or whatever. But maybe my only job was just to, like, make it through this day and just be Jesus's friend. And, like, I wasn't supposed to accomplish a whole lot. And I was just supposed to, like, read this, a couple chapters of this book and, like, and, you know, talk to a couple of people and do a bunch of tasks. Like, maybe that's all that the day was supposed to be. Because the Lord is a lot slower than I think. And so, like, when you build up a life full of days, then, you know, it's like, anyway, it's one of these things that helps me to be kind of less stress filled about the idea that, like, man, this wasn't like a big accomplishy day. I didn't move any mountains today. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's fine. Moses sat in the desert for 4 decades. Yeah. He was 80 before anything kicked off. Paul was in the penalty box for a decade. Yeah. You know, and so that's kind of encouraging. The other thing is, like, when the coronavirus started, you know, it was like, okay, if we can all be responsible, then, like, 3 weeks we're going to be out of this thing. You know? And then it was like
30 days to flatten the curve.
That's right. 30 days to flatten the curve. And, like, and then it was like, okay, well, I've got to, like, I remember when we were trying to figure out how to put our service online, and I was like, look, let's just film it on my MacBook and, like, and we'll just throw it on Facebook Live or something like that. Or let's just use my MacBook's little camera, put it on Facebook Live, like you're filming a Zoom call. Mm. Because we're only gonna have to do this for a couple weeks and then we'll be back. And it's like, no, we're gonna have to learn a whole new vocation because this is gonna be a year. You know, it's like, I couldn't have known that at the time. And it's like, but you look at some of these things that happen in the scriptures where you could sum up somebody's life in a minute, but inside that, there were these great spaces where the Lord just slowed everything down. And I think that's for some reason, it's just an encouraging thought to me that, like, I don't have to be in a hurry about the fact that, you know, I didn't maybe have the most exciting day ever. I didn't accomplish a ton of stuff. That's okay. Mm-hmm. This is a life.
Yeah.
We're walking. We're not sprinting.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets me excited to think about that. Mm. Because I think every one of us too will have moments in our life where we feel like we're there, or I guess we thought the Lord was done with us. And I don't necessarily mean like done using, I mean, like, he's done growing me. Like, we've reached where I'm going to get to. Like,
yeah,
I'm sanctified, you know, like, whatever. So that's encouraging for me to think, like, I'm just aging like a fine wine, you know, like, he's, you know, like,
you are, by the way,
thanks. And in 15 years, who knows what I'm going to be like,
right?
Who knows what he's going to be doing with me? Who knows where I'll be? Who knows? You know, I'm like, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm also not promised tomorrow. So I'm not, it's funny because yeah. I don't want to go to work today and be like, I can't wait for age 42 to see where I'm at. Part of me is like, I can't wait till I'm 42 to see where I'm at.
Yeah.
But I don't want to miss today. You know, like, it takes a lot of pressure off today. I also don't want to miss today. You know?
No, that's a very good way to say that. I mean,
I do not want to just think like, oh gosh, like, you know, at least I'll have tomorrow. It's like, well, I may not, but I also, it does make me feel like, man, today doesn't have to be amazing and perfect and awesome. They go hand in hand with me right now. It's cool.
Well, it does take some pressure off.
I just blew up your whole
concept. No. It's okay. Cool. It does take some pressure off. And it does, like, there, I think there's a holy depressurization and there's a holy urgency. Yeah. You do only have one life.
Yes.
And so I want to, like, even what you were saying, like, earlier, like, I want to live, I want to do everything for the glory of God.
Yeah.
But that might mean taking a nap.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, I put my contacts in for the glory of God.
Yes.
That did. Means later when I get home from work and I want to put my feet up, like, I'm going to do that for the glory of God.
I think about a guy like Paul just being sidelined for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's just like, when was the first time that he was like, okay, whatever, I'm taking a nap. Like, you know, just a guy of his personality and his energy and his focus. Like, when was he like, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to go ahead and chill and take a nap.
Well, yeah. Like, even in Jesus's ministry, like, there's, yeah, I'm sure there's a ton we don't see. John even says, right, at the end, like, hey, if I were to write everything down, I would still be writing, brother. Which, like, who knows? He may still be alive right now. Who knows? That's another rabbit hole. But, which it's whatever. but there are gaps where we don't see. And then there's, you know, there are probably small moments we just don't see at all. But there's also times where he's just like, I'm going to go on a retreat with my guys.
Yeah.
You know, or like, I am going to go chill by myself, which, like,
yeah,
a lot of those times it's clear he was off praying by himself before the sun rose and probably didn't sleep. But you also get the impression that he, like, you know, he did his thing sometimes and just,
yeah, took naps,
took his buddies on a, yeah, a place and just chilled in the mountains somewhere, you know, or like, right, whatever the thing was.
Yeah. It's, these days are not promised us. They're excessively important. And also, like, the Lord's story arc is long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that to me is, it's a kind sentiment. It's a kind thought,
yeah,
to enter into this day with.
Yeah. There's a place in the scriptures where it talks about making the most of every opportunity. Where is that?
Right.
Yeah. And I don't ever want to miss that, you know, like, if there's an opportunity to share the gospel, I want to do it. If, right, it doesn't mean that, if it means that person doesn't get saved in that exact moment, I also need to be like, I don't need to be upset about it, you know, yeah, cause that's something that's easy for me. Like, okay, I, like, either I just missed the moment and I'm kicking myself and I'm really sad about it, which happens in my life,
sure,
often, or I took advantage of a moment that the Lord gave me and it didn't go the way I thought it was going to. Like, that person isn't a missionary now and wherever, you know, doing whatever. Like, they took it and I'm like, huh, cool conversation. Want to go get lunch? You know, like, whatever the thing is. And I'm like, now I'm upset about that. You know, yeah, it's so funny. There's, this is such a cool idea to think about. Somehow they go hand in hand. Somehow there's a holy, you know, there's a holy nap and there's also a holy, you're not promised tomorrow. And they go hand in hand together.
That's right.
That we just named our episode, The Holy Nap.
I encourage you to go grab one today, listener.
Yes.
We love y'all. Thanks for hanging with us. I am Lee.
I'm Thomas. I just feel like you had such a good idea and then I just.
No way. It was fun.
I threw a bottle rocket in there and watched it disintegrate. No,
I think it's the opposite. I think it's such a cool, thing that, like, that we live in this balance. And I think it's, to me, look, we did a fake ending and
yeah, I needed you to come back and wrap this up because I feel like I didn't wrap it up. That's no, what I was trying to say.
It's just
that.
Like, it's, we are in this balance and so much of it is attitude. So right. much of it is point of view. Mm. How do I see this? If I see, like, if I live my life like stressed out, I didn't do enough. There's something I'm missing about the gospel. If I live my life where, like, I just don't care, I'm totally apathetic, it's all grace and gravy. Then it's like, then there's something I'm missing about the world, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
But like, there is a place where it's like, oh no, he called us oaks of righteousness. This is a long life of slow growth.
Right.
And there, person after person had huge, you know, just huge chunks of years that we don't know anything about.
Yeah.
And where there were just days that went slowly. And yet we're not promised tomorrow. And so I want to do this day well. But doing this day well might mean chilling out sometimes. Yeah. and trusting him with the spaciousness of this, his long story arc.
Yeah. That's cool. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Why am I broken? Why am I in need of such repair? Words you have spoken always seem to be so hard to hear. Lord, am I hopeless? Why does it seem like no one really cares? I'm tired of loneliness. I need someone to help me now, I'm scared. And oh, my heavy heart, weighing me down. God, give me a new start, or I'll surely drown. And oh, my heavy heart, weighing me down. God, give me a new start, or I'll surely. Seem